A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Happy Friday.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yes. Happy Friday. Are you, you've got 2 more days left of work, have you? And then you're off on holiday.
Yeah, so I've got today and Saturday, and then we are going to France. We're going to Montpellier. Yes! Come on!
Oh, my God.
On Sunday. We've just got 4 days. We're just going to go stay down with some friends. We managed to get some cheap flights, and obviously they've put the air bridge in now, so we don't have to quarantine this end. The kids are so excited. Kit's running around going, airplane, airplane! I'm like, please be well behaved on the air. Away
now. You know, it is so short as well. It's to be such a short amount of time on the plane.
We've got a drink at Paris, so I don't know about that.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
We've got, because of COVID, we have to change.
Oh, no. Although, I mean, it will be fine, Zoe. Like, seriously, yeah. It will be absolutely fine. It's always worth it.
To be honest with you, it is, like you said, it's completely worth it. And Luna has got really into watching that film Ballerina. So she thinks that we're actually going to the Eiffel Tower. Aww. She's like, I'm going to be a ballet star in Paris. I was like, you're just going to see Charles de Gaulle Airport. Okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I can't believe another week has gone by. James is going back to work on Monday. I feel like I wasn't quite ready for like the proper reality of how it's going to be to set in. You know, like, I would normally be working, I'd normally be out of the house, but now, you know, school's going to start again soon and James is going back to training and it's just me and Gigi. It's weird.
But are you so you're weird. Quite happy about not being with Judgy James all the time, aren't you?
Judgy James can actually do one, because having him looking over me all the time and commenting on how I do certain things is really getting on my tits. So,
last night when we were on the phone, he obviously came in, we were chatting, and he was like, "Why do I have to clear up all your shit all the time?" And you were like, "Can you actually go away?"
Can I just say, he actually meant like the dinner plates, like that I'd cooked. So, you know, he needs to go back into training and start judging on those people rather than me. I'm sure his teammate's going to be like, oh no, he's coming back to tell us that we're not lacing up our boots properly or our socks aren't right. He can do one.
He's stickler for the rules, your husband, but we do love him for it. So this is a new look Friday for us. We've done this for the last couple of weeks, but we are not having a guest on Friday's episode now. Now it is a Q&A that Georgia and I will do together. You guys have been sending in your questions all week. This week, we're going to talk about loneliness. We've had a lot of messages about how people are feeling during lockdown. You know, some of our followers have had babies. Some people are really suffering with a feeling of kind of isolation, I guess, not being able to see their mates, just all that kind of stuff. So we thought we would just have a discussion about it, and baby blues, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We were sent some research from Lanisseau, you know, the people that do the nipple, the nipple cream. And they said that increased levels of loneliness have been reported up 60% for new and expectant mums. And, you know, just so many people who've, you know, had babies or are used to getting out to toddler groups and all of that. And that's their lifeline, you know, to see people and have that interaction, because it hasn't been happening. You know, lots of us are stuck at home and it is hard. So we thought it was a really important conversation to have. obviously now we can get back to coffee shops and we can kind of get back to some sort of new normal. But I sort of think maybe finding, you know, new friends, meeting new people is probably going to be a little bit harder than it was before.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think actually, you know, you and I are very lucky because we've got a partner there to kind of share the load, and we can take time away from them if we want by sitting in a different room. But if you're listening and you're a single parent, you know, our hearts go out to you because you're having to deal with that all by yourself. And that level of loneliness, horrendous. You know, I've one of my closest friends is a single mum, and it's very, very, very hard for her because, you know, come the end of the day when she's been with her baby the whole day, he's a toddler now, but, you know, she then has to do bath time, put him to bed, and then it's like, well, she can't go out, so she just sits and has a glass of wine by herself watching telly. And it's like, that's really tough. I don't know how that's really tough.
Yeah, it is really tough. I mean, I think we've probably all felt a sense of loneliness at some point during, you know, our parenting life. Did you ever feel lonely, Zoe, like at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I've spoken about the baby blues. I definitely didn't have postnatal depression, but actually, I think I was going through a period of feeling isolated because we were living in Cheltenham and I didn't have any friends apart from you. I missed my life in London. I was grieving the loss of my old self. And I think mums are frightened to say that, or at least they feel they might be judged for saying that. You know, I missed being on my own. As in, that's weird because we're talking about loneliness, but I missed being a single girl about town and working loads and, you know, being glam and out and about and all that kind of stuff, because that was my life for 15 years, you know, hanging out with my friends and kind of doing what I wanted. And suddenly I was away from everything that I knew, living in a strange city. And I was trying to navigate my way through being a new parent. So 1,000,000%, yes, I remember some very dark days. And I remember crying a lot in the first couple of months, just thinking, oh my God, have I made the right decision here? And how am I ever going to get my head around this? And I'm so exhausted and all the usual stuff, I think.
Yeah, no.
I do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've spoken about this before, but I'm an only child and I have always liked spending time by myself, like always needed like a day to myself, you know, like even as I said before, like on group holidays or whatever, I always need like an hour by myself to just, I don't know, it's weird. And I know like quite a few other people who haven't got siblings, they're the same. They're not, we're not used to like the noise and all that constantly. So yeah, I definitely felt lonely because I was never on my own. That's weird, isn't it? But I felt like, yeah, I still find it tricky now, actually, never just being me. I used to, but when I was working, my commute, and then I used to walk from Victoria Station in London all the way to sort of near Oxford Street every morning, like 45 minute walk every morning. And that was the time I would clear my head and, you know, then I'd be ready to go into the office and be around lots of people and, you know, do lots of talking and stuff. So I found, same as you, having all of that taken away from me, moving to Cheltenham, I'm really close to my mum and my dad, and not having them there and not really knowing many people like other than you. I found it really difficult. And I think as well, we probably compare ourselves to how our friends' sort of time in the first few months has gone. And I know like some of my friends were always at baby groups or, you know, having coffees with mums. And I just didn't feel like that was what I wanted to do, but I equally didn't want to just be stuck at home. And I think that can be hard when to try and find someone else who wants to do that with you.
If we hadn't had each other, I think my time in Cheltenham would have been a completely different story. I'm not sure that I would have wanted to have been there for a whole year without having a mate, because, you know, I made some connections with the rugby wives and girlfriends. They were all really lovely to me. You were my soulmate. And if I hadn't had you, I really would have struggled. But I think let's break this down here. And I think not enough people say this. You know, you might be one of the lucky ones that finds motherhood a breeze. You know, you might just get on with it and love every second of it and be okay and have had let go your old life and be okay with that. It's going to be a large percentage of people that are listening that found it really, really tough in those early days, first 6 months, first year. And actually, you know, we are supposed to just get on with it. You've got a baby. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's like, well, yeah, okay, it is wonderful, but it's also fucking bullshit at the same time. And it's really, really hard. You are the most tired you've ever been in your life. You are nursing the labor, whatever sort of birth you've had. It might have been a traumatic one. You know, we're expected to just be okay after that as well. But I think we don't give ourselves enough time to heal mentally and physically. And then we're supposed to go out. And everything that we were doing before, we're supposed to forget about that. And actually, even if you, you know, a career wasn't your kind of main focus before you had kids, there were obviously things that you loved doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get to do those things anymore. And then you chuck in a career and you have to step away from that. And you just walking around the park with a coffee, just feeding and being puked on. And it's like, oh, God, you know, there's some dark days in there.
Yeah, there is. Do you know, we it was probably a couple of weeks ago now, we had Dr. Karp on the podcast, and he was talking, he sort of mentioned briefly about the fourth trimester.
Yeah.
And I think when I remember reading about this actually. So I took Axel out for lunch with my family when he was about 2 days old. And there are some girls sitting outside the restaurant and they were drinking champagne. And obviously I had just had a baby 2 days ago. And I remember looking at them and thinking, oh my God, like that's my old life. Oh, they look how lovely. They're sitting in the sun and it looks so lovely. And they sort of looked at Axel and they were cooing at him and stuff. And then one of them said, oh, well, that's good, you don't die during childbirth. And I was like, oh my, okay, that's a weird comment. But then also they were like, why are you out? What are you doing? Why are you out? And at first I was like quite offended by them sort of saying that, because I thought, well, you know, I had a baby 2 days ago, but this is me. Like, I'm, you know, that's what I do. Like, if I've ever, you know, had any challenges in my life before, my thing to get over those was always to, you know, get dressed up, get out. Yeah, that's my coping mechanism. So I went home and I Googled, when should you take a newborn out? And all of this stuff came up about the fourth trimester, which firstly I'd never heard of, but also about postpartum confinement.
Right.
And it basically went on to say that in some cultures, the mother and baby stay at home for up to 100 days to recover. And for the baby to get used to being in the world and for the mum to heal and, you know, like get on with feeding and all that kind of stuff. And then when I thought about that, I thought, okay, right, now I get it. I need to not jump out and you know, get this new life up and running, like day three, you know, meeting all these people and doing it, and just take it slow and at my own pace. And I'm really glad I read that, actually, because then I didn't feel that pressure to be, you know, I think I tried to go to some NCT group in the church hall about four times, and it was at 11 o'clock and I never managed to get there because I just didn't get out. Like, I couldn't get everything together and do all my feeds and do all that stuff to get there for 11. Mm-hmm. And I think lots of women probably feel like that. They feel like they should be going out and going to the groups, but actually getting out and getting to the groups and getting there for a specific time is actually really hard.
Because
you forget. You used to just pick up your bag and your wallet and your keys and off you go. And then suddenly you're, you know, having to change. I mean, do you remember when Luna did a poo and then you thought, okay, that's it, I can't go out, I'm going to be late. Can't go out, that's it. She's done a poo.
I was just about to say, if you do miss that group or you do cancel on your friend for a walk around the park because something's happened, the loneliness then kicks in even more, because that was your thing that you were looking forward to that day. And if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, you know, some of these groups happen once a week probably, and twice a week maybe, but then you've missed that and then you're having to deal with it by yourself for another 3 days before you can kind of see somebody. And I don't know, I remember going to one particular group and I'd had a hell of a night with Luna. I mean, like, exhausting stuff. I was still breastfeeding but really not enjoying it at this point, and very sore, and I just sat there and I just looked like I'd been dragged through a hedge backwards, and I was sort of staring. I must have looked absolutely terrifying to everybody else because I was sort of staring, like rocking Luna back and forth. And I was thinking, I was looking around at all these other mums going, well, that baby looks bigger than Luna. Or that baby isn't crying. Or look at that baby. That baby's got a really... And I just thought, oh, God, this is such a... It messes with your head, because when you do go out to those groups, you're kind of comparing yourself to other women there who look really, really put together, and inside you're going, I feel like dog shit, I don't want to be here, but I know if I don't come I'm going to be on my own all day today. Like, it's such a cycle, isn't it, of of fear, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a really hard balance. And I think some people thrive going to those groups and they, you know, absolutely love it. But for every mum that is like that, there will be another one in, you know, like us, secretly in their head thinking, oh, I just, you know, I just want to go back to bed and this is so horrible. And I want to make friends in another way, I guess, where there's not so, it's not so much pressure, I guess. You know, we just used to meet, and if you said, if Axel looked bigger than Luna, you'd just say it to me. You'd be like, oh, you know, how much does Axel weigh? Or, you know,
Yeah.
And you can just have that conversation and feel comfortable. And I think that's the best thing, is when you've got someone who you can talk to about anything and not have those like weird, oh, her baby's crawling, oh, mine isn't. I mean, it's natural. It's a natural thing to think. But it's really good if you can find someone who you don't have to do that with.
No. I mean, it shouldn't. We're talking about judgment here. This is what we're talking about. It's like, you cannot have any of that energy in your life. And I'm quite happy to pull people up if I feel like they're saying something out of turn to make another person feel bad. You know, it's like, oh, what, she hasn't got any teeth? It's like, well, no, she hasn't got any teeth yet. Thank you. My child doesn't have any teeth yet. You know, but I think all of those stuff, really, when you're feeling fragile in the first however long, you know, the first sort of wave of motherhood, those things can really get inside you, and all of those negative comments, you can really take them on board. And that's when, kind of in more severe cases, postnatal depression can kind of set in. I think 3 in 10 women suffer from the disorder, and they actually think that a lot more kind of go under the radar and just kind of get up as baby blues. It's a lot of people. That's a lot of women that are going through it.
It is.
And the judgment and stuff really doesn't help. And talking of judgment, it kind of brings me on nicely to, let's have a discussion about what's happened this week with the post that Millie put up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. You posted, didn't you? Because I remember seeing Millie post and I thought, oh, that's amazing that she's posted. That's really brave. I think, you know, as mothers, a lot of us know that your bump doesn't just disappear and it's around for a lot longer. But a lot of people that follow Millie won't be mothers and they probably don't know that doesn't happen, because we rarely get to see you know, people in the public eye months after having a baby with a bump, do we? The only images we ever see are people on the beach and they're saying, oh my gosh, look how amazing she looks after she's had a baby, and you see a flat tummy. So it's no surprise that people think that.
I mean, and if you haven't seen the post, it's basically Millie McIntosh standing in her underwear. She's 10 weeks postpartum, and she wrote this really beautiful, inspiring, you know, these amazing, inspiring words about what her body has been through and the fact that it's grown a baby, and she kind of looks at it in a totally new light. And, you know, fitting into her pre-pregnancy clothes seems a long way off, and she's got no intention of rushing back. And her whole purpose in life now is to provide for Sienna and look after her, feed her and do all that kind of stuff. And it was just really amazing. She's also saying she's had a hell of a lot of negativity online, and people have been writing awful things and trolling her. Which just makes my blood boil. It makes me feel so angry. So I reposted it this morning and said, you know, what an amazing post from Millie. And I got a troll who came at me and said, oh, you lot, you need to have a word with yourself. You're empty head standing there in your underwear. Get a fucking life. No one gives a shit. All this stuff. It's like, whoa, with the negativity. Imagine if you're a new mum. I mean, I can handle it. I'm like, oh, fuck you. Go away. I just had an argument with this person, then I blocked them. But imagine if you're a new mother and you're having to deal with that. She's 10 weeks postpartum, for God's sakes.
I know, exactly. I mean, I remember taking a photo like that myself, and I sent it to one of my friends who didn't have a baby. And she said, oh my God, I didn't realize what, no, oh my God, why have you still got a bump? And I was actually I was sending her the photo to show her that it's actually okay, you know, like that actually I was not happy with how I was, and you know, a few weeks later, but yeah, like happy that I don't know, just to show, I don't know, just to show her. Yeah, I was quite comfortable. Yeah. And it really made me feel shit, really, really did. Mm. And I can't imagine how Millie must feel with probably thousands of people saying horrendous things. And for her to put herself out there as well, to show, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, her body, is really brave. And for someone else to take, to, you know, call her and you and whoever, people in the public eye, empty heads for wanting to normalize something like that. Just think it's really narrow-minded.
I just think those people are so sad. I think they've got, they must be full of hate and full of anger about something. I just sent a lot of love back. I was just like, you know, please don't follow us if you feel that way, but I'm sending love back to you because they need it. I think, you know, I don't want to see it. And I just think it's ridiculous when people follow, when someone following you, but they don't want to see your posts, go away then.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Exactly. Or if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Well, like, this is why Made by Mamas is such a special place and a space for people to come, because Georgia and I, our sole mission in life is to normalize everything that parenting is about, you know, make you feel like you're not on your own and put like a massive, you know, our arms around you and give you a massive hug because we've been through it and we're going to talk about it. And there is no room for negativity in this Made by Mamas world, unfortunately.
No, absolutely not. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if we've done something wrong, you can't pull us up on it, because you absolutely can. And we don't always get it right. You don't get it right. So that's fine. But, you know, there is no place for just full out trolling and shaming. There's no place for that.
We'll be right back after the short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
Should we get into this Q&A?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, shall I kick us off?
Yeah.
This is quite a good one. Do we ever really get over the loneliness 3 years in and feel the same?
That makes me feel sad.
I
feel lonely.
No.
Georgia, do you
want to
take this one?
So I sort of just thinking about this, I think there are a lot of groups and, you know, apps and all of that kind of stuff that are geared up for helping mums in the early days sort of find their tribe of people. But I guess 3 years on, there's not so many resources. Lots of people might have gone back to work, you know, kids might be in nursery. It becomes a bit harder, doesn't it, to try and make new friends, particularly, you know, lots of us move house and stuff like that. But, you know, we met because we were in a coffee shop, but we also had like a mutual interest. We both liked going to the gym and we both liked, you know, talking about fashion and all that kind of stuff. So I think if you feel lonely and you want to get out and meet people, then do things that you enjoy doing, not necessarily focused around the kids or whatever, but go to places that you enjoy and do things that you like doing. And then hopefully you might find other people who are the same. And it's nice for not everything to be centered around your little ones as well, because essentially you two, you know, the mums are going to be the ones having this, having the conversations. So, that's what I would say to that. What would you say, Zoe?
Well, no, I think you've answered it. I think you've done a really good job with that question. So, yeah. And one thing I would say is that, I think a level of, I think the first time after Luna, I was fighting and grieving for lots of things, and I think when Kit came along, there was a certain amount of realization and comfort in being present. I wasn't trying to look back or think about the future. I just accepted that this is where I was in my life. And when that came, that level of acceptance, a happiness, a fulfillment came rather than a happiness, if that makes sense.
So,
not to your question, the loneliness does go, and you just got to hang on in there and do what you can to make yourself, you, feel good. This is about you rather than about somebody else making you feel less lonely. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. How to tackle loneliness with reflux? Public outgoing, not an option. Sick, screaming all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Amelia. Yeah.
I read this earlier and my heart absolutely goes out to you, because I know Kit had quite bad reflux. Axel had a bit of reflux in the beginning, but this is exactly how I felt about going to groups, because he was so loud. I felt like I couldn't, and I didn't want to take him to anywhere that wasn't noisy, anywhere quiet. I didn't want to take him because I felt like he was so loud.
It is reflux babies. I don't know how old your baby is, Amelia, but if you've got the option, like Georgia said, to go somewhere that encourages the encourages the screaming, where they don't have to sit there and behave and be like, you know, three little ducks went out to play. No one wants to go there anyway. Just find somewhere where they can be, you know, sort of loud, and no one's going to judge you on that level. I think that's a good starting point. I think, firstly, you've got to get the reflux under control. I'm sure you're trying everything. So that's not me saying that you're not doing anything, but hopefully they're coming up with a kind of plan for you, because once Kit got the right medicine, he stopped being sick, and once he was put onto the right milk, all of that went away. So then at that point I could start integrating myself and start actually going out in the car and doing different things, because first 6 months I couldn't travel with him, couldn't put him in a pram.
I remember
in a car seat, nothing, we couldn't go anywhere. So I really do empathize with you on this one, but find one mate who doesn't give a shit if they get a bit of sick on their top from your child.
Oh, here we go. My husband's been on furlough and now he's due to return, and I feel so anxious. Any advice?
Oh yeah, I hear you. It's been so lovely, hasn't it, having our partners around to help us out.
And I'm having this, I've got the same. I mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast, that James is going back to work on Monday, and suddenly sort of like the reality and the new normal is hitting me. So I definitely can relate to how you're feeling. I would definitely talk to your partner about it, because I know I do it. If James has been out of the house all day doing something, I build up all this resentment. And then he gets home and I'll unleash it on him because I felt anxious about everything I needed to do and he's not there. So definitely have the conversation about it, and also to see if there's anyone else who could, you know, maybe come and help you, like a neighbour or, you know, a parent or someone who might come and help just ease you into being on your own a bit more with the baby.
Because we're such super women as well. I think there's a feeling that we will just be okay. I don't even think sometimes it crosses our partners' minds that we might not be okay, because they're such solutionists, aren't they? They're like, well, I'm trying to get to C, so I'll just put A and B together and I'll get there. And it's like, well, actually, you know, I need you to go via X, Y and P, and you need to tell them that. And I think it's not about finding a solution for this. I think it's about airing your fear of being on your own again and saying to them, this is what I need to make myself feel okay. This is what I need from you. And this is what we're going to have to do together, and just explain it to him. Because if you just go, off you go, see you later, and then the door shuts and you're on your own and you dissolve and you can't cope, that's when the problems start coming in. So communication, absolutely key. And like Georgia said, you know, bring somebody up and just say that you need a bit of help, whoever that is.
Yeah, take all the help that you can possibly get.
Absolutely, agreed. How do you know when you have the baby blues? Well, firstly, if you feel at all like you can't stop crying, that you feel there's a heaviness and a weight and a fog, you can't get out of bed in the morning, you know, you're struggling with all of those, you know, a real feeling of low, you definitely speak to a healthcare professional, give your doctor a call, give your GP a call, and just explain what's going on and say that you want to come and see them. I think that's the first point.
Definitely.
To go and say, this is how I'm feeling, and for them to go, you know, let's try and get you on a plan for you to just sit at home and go, oh, I don't know whether it is or not, just go anyway. They're really,
yeah, exactly.
They've come on so far. You know, our health system has come on so far with regards to maternal mental health. So I actually think you'll be really looked after.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if it, you know, it's super, super early, then when your health visitor comes round, it's not a time to put on a brave face and be like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine. It's actually, they come round because they want you to speak openly and honestly to them. So if you aren't feeling great, just tell them. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be suffering from postnatal depression. It just means that they want to know how you're feeling so they can monitor it. It's not a huge thing when you know, really early on, so many of us feel like it. I remember the health visitor coming around 3 days after I had Axel, and I was just crying. I don't cry, you know that. Yeah. So I knew that something was wrong. And she, you know, then she explained to me that it's, you know, to do with your hormones. And if I continue to feel like this, then definitely give her a call back. But hopefully, you know, it will settle down, and it did. So it's just about reaching out to those people so that you can get the help that you need or you don't need. So
agreed. Where should we go? To Claire. How do you find yourself again after kids, Georgia?
I don't think you find the old self. I think you find a new self. I definitely think most of us change quite a lot after we have children, and not in a bad way, in a good way. I think I definitely care a lot less about what people think. In fact, at all. Like, I don't really care what people think anymore. And I think you can quite often find a newfound confidence, particularly like a few years later. And I think it's just about getting out and remembering that you still matter. And you, as much as you want to care for your children and give them absolutely everything, you also need to give back to yourself as well. And keep yourself happy, do the things that you enjoy. Don't ever feel guilty about doing something that you enjoy, and taking time for yourself. I think that's what I would say. So
really brilliant advice. Yeah, I agree with everything that you've just said, actually, G. I think I had it recently where I suddenly felt like all I was doing was working and mothering and being a wife, and I just freaked out and I burst into tears. It had been coming for a long time, and this was literally only 2 weeks ago, and I started to think about what I liked, what was I into, what things made me happy. I couldn't think of anything because I haven't done anything for me for 6 months. You know, it's all been about working, keeping the family together, and there's a lot of pressure. And I was like, no, I need to start reading. I want to read a book. I've got a book by my bed that I haven't even started, but it's been there for 2 years. You know, I want to start doing things that I love again, you know, just figuring out what that is. But I think it's okay. I vocalized it to Dozza, and I think that's the first thing you should do, is vocalize it to your partner and say, you know, if you do have a partner, just to kind of say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I want, this is what I need. I think we, as mothers, we don't prioritize our own needs ever, and that is really bad, because, you know, we're people too. We need some time out to ourselves, and we need to be allowed that.
Exactly.
So, that's not selfish. You need to do it, Claire.
No, definitely not. How do I stop feeling guilty about wanting to work at home with a toddler is lonely?
Oh, yeah, it really is.
Oh, it really is. Do you know what? The other day I said to James, do you know what? I'm just going to go back to work full time because it'll just be, I think it'll be easier for me. And because it's really difficult when you're in it, when all you're doing is looking after children or a child or whatever, it's really difficult. And you think, of course, someone else could just do this for me. Yeah. And I could just go to work and do, you know, something I like or don't like or whatever, but just then come home and it, that would be better.
Well, hopefully something you like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, hopefully what you enjoy your work, you might not enjoy your work. But it's so hard to strike a balance with that and what feels right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if I mean, and I love you and I can say this because I know you inside out, Georgia. I'm proud of you, but also I don't know what the word is, really, struggling to maybe accept that you want to be at home all the time because of the conversations that we've had in the past. You are full-time mum, and you have been full-time mum to two for a year. That is amazing. I didn't think that that's what you were going to do. So it's quite interesting. And how are you coping with that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, for you know, a year, I've just thought of it as maternity leave. And I think lots of us have a year off for maternity leave. Well, it's not off, is it? But it's just a year of being a mum.
A year to chill.
Yeah. And I think it's only now that it's over a year and sort of realization sort of kicking in. Oh, maybe, you know, can I actually do this every day? I'm not sure. And I don't know. I don't know the answer yet. I'm not sure. But I just think guilt is such a crap emotion, isn't it?
It is.
And I think either way, if you're at home, you'll feel guilty. And if you're not at home, you'll feel guilty. So you've got to do what makes you happy at the end of the day.
And please, please, please don't feel guilty about wanting to work and do something for yourself. You know, we're absolutely entitled to and should have the life that we want, whether that's staying at home and being full-time mum or going to work and, you know, and doing both. That's fine. Yeah. And by the way, being at home with kids all the time, much harder.
It is. It's so hard.
Much harder. This is like a holiday being at work. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. Tiring, but lovely. So, how to survive with a newborn and 3-year-old during a pandemic? Help.
This was me last year without the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to chuck the pandemic in there.
Oh my gosh. It's really hard.
I think good advice here would be have a listen back to our podcast that we did with Caroline Britton. She is a healer and an intuitive coach, and she has some really fantastic advice on setting boundaries. So, you know, when you've got a 3-year-old and you've got a newborn, you just have to give everything. You're just sapped, drive everything, because these tiny people are just take. And at the end of the day, you're just like, oh, I'm exhausted. Who am I? So I think if you can do a few things that happen throughout the day, like setting your affirmations in the morning, getting in the shower, if you can have a shower, shut the door, get the water over you and just repeat, I am enough, you know, and just say whatever you need to say to make yourself feel good. Caroline's got some really good suggestions. That starts you off in the right way. And then when the kids get to bed, it's got to be about you. I think having something like getting in the bath, putting some candles and some music on, just taking yourself out of the clothes that you've been wearing for the day, you know, all those little things. Because look, we can't jet off somewhere really nice. We can't, you know, we haven't got the cat. Nothing's open. It's like you've got to find ways of making the home special that doesn't relate to your children.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then on like, you know, a day-to-day keeping them entertained, I've struggled with Gigi and Axel in lockdown, because before Axel was at preschool and I had the time with Gigi to myself and I could, you know, give her lots of my time. And then when he came home, it was his time and it was a good balance. So having them both here, I found difficult. But what I have found has made it a bit easier is obviously when Gigi sleeps, Axel has a bit more time, but also just planning the day a little bit, like setting activities up that don't require very much hands-on time for Axel, that he can just get on with himself. I think that helps, because newborns, you know, they are all consuming and they do want a lot, but then they do sleep, hopefully, during the day. So it's just, it's about just striking that balance. And also don't worry about TV and screen time and all that kind of stuff. That is not the time to worry about whether your 3-year-old's watching too much TV or eating too much chocolate. It's really not the time to worry about that. It's just about surviving and getting through the days.
Agreed. And I just wanted to take this one from Claudette, because I've just seen it. Were you pre-warned of baby blues? I wasn't, and it came to me as a huge shock. Claudette, not enough people talk about the baby blues. There is not enough of a spotlight on the subject. We need to highlight it more. We need to have these discussions. No, nobody told me. It came over me like a ton of bricks. And I thought I was sinking for a while. So no, definitely not. And I think it's really important to have all that information. There needs to be more stuff online as well just about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be something that midwives bring up with you as well, I think. I think maybe, I don't know if they ask in, you know, one of your checks before you have the baby, if you've ever suffered with mental health problems. And I think maybe if you say no, then that's it. Nothing gets discussed. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you say yes, then, you know, they do give you a bit more information. So I think it can come as a definite shock to you if you've never felt anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, it's very unknown, but absolutely it does pass. And yeah, like we said just earlier in the podcast, just lean on all of those resources that you possibly can.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we could talk all day about this subject. Really amazing. Thank you so much for sending in all of your messages. Next week, we'll be discussing a new topic, which we're going to put out to you sort of early in the week so we can get your questions in. But thank you so much. And as always, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you could leave us a little review, that would be lovely.
Yes, please do. We absolutely love reading those. Do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel, and have a lovely weekend. And Zoe's going to be jetting off next week on holiday.
I'm off in 2 days, Kino. So as they say in France, grand baguettes. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.